Hello, it's Peter Wright and Kathleen Beauvais with another weekly wrap-up for The Acting Show. We're letting you know what happened this week and what's going to happen next week on The Acting Show. And this is the week ending the 26th of April, 2024. We've had another sort of regression into winter weather this week with frost this morning, I saw, but next week is definitely back into spring, so it's all looking good. So hi, Kathleen, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good, good. So, do you want to start with your cat tidbit, as
actually,
we normally do
feline
friends?
Sure, I can give you the cat tidbit today for those of you who are love your felines. So today's cat tidbit is: the markings of a tabby are meant to serve as camouflage when in the wild. So I have a tabby. So isn't that interesting?
Very, very, very. And on that score, we had to take one of our cats to the vet the other day, and they had this huge poster. It must have been 4 foot by 4 foot on the wall with all the different cat markings and the correct terminology from them. And you wouldn't believe what some of them are called and how many variations of tabby, for instance, you can get. It's quite fascinating for anyone who wants to research that. But The Acting Show is not just about cats. It's also about helping you on the path to wholeness. So let's tell you what happened on The Acting Show this week. We published on Tuesday our episode with DJ Kadagian, who is a filmmaker and author and a really interesting guy. He's spent 25 years researching near-death experiences. He's also done a lot of research on psychedelic psychotherapy, and he's written books on both of those subjects. I've read the second one on psychedelic psychotherapy. There'll be a link to his books in our newsletter and in the descriptions here. But what a fascinating interview. Kathleen, you picked up a lot because you've had some experiences yourself. So you carry on. Tell our audience a little bit more.
This person is just incredible. And I hope everybody gets to see his interview. And I don't want to give it all away, but one of the things that I found astounding in the common elements experienced by people who have gone through the near-death experiences, it's upsetting to me to hear that a predeceased spouse is never seen in a near-death experience. People who have gone through this experience report seeing other dead friends, deceased relatives, but never a spouse that's predeceased them. And I thought that was fascinating. And he goes into so much more, Peter.
Oh,
my goodness, what an interesting conversation that is. And you know what? It's actually prompted me to delve into that topic even a bit more now. I just, for my own interest, I want to hear about these experiences, because there are so many common elements he studied this for, as you said, 25 to 30 years, interviewing hundreds and hundreds of these accounts. And they're not crazy, right? These people experience something, and there's common elements to it. And it just makes you wonder. You know?
Mm-hmm. What makes me pretty sure that he's onto something is the fact that he is a I can't remember the exact terminology. He's an economist, and he does research on all sorts of things, and used to crunching huge numbers of data and information. And he went into this thing as a skeptic. He said, there's no way there can be such a thing as a near-death experience. And he to convince himself he was right. That's why he started doing the research. But the more research he did, the more he realized, wow, I'm onto something. And the last one on that is that on his website, which is nde-central.com, there are testimonials, video testimonials. And the first two that I looked at recently were both from doctors who had died and were definitely dead and came back, right? Medically assisted recovery. And I'm not going to give the whole story away, but these doctors are absolutely convinced they had near-death experiences. And there's many more testimonials. I think there's over 100 on the website. So that was our guest on Tuesday. Very, very interesting guy. Wow, fantastic. Then, of course, we do our this wrap up on Thursday. We don't have another episode for you today on Thursday, but next week on Tuesday, we will have a previous guest, Douglas Mulhall, returning. Now, on his first episode, he talked about longevity and elastrin, and that seems to be a very popular episode of ours, getting more than the average number of views and listens and downloads. But he's come back, and he will be talking next Tuesday about epigenetics, which is what happens on top of genetics and how your genetics can be affected by lifestyle, outside influences, your environment, and all sorts of things. And again, a highly fascinating subject. So I'd encourage you to, if you want to learn more about that, come along next week and watch that one. And that's about it from me, Kathleen. So let's move on to our health story.
Well, Peter, I was re recently reading an article, and it's something that I think you might find quite interesting as a farmer. And I just wanted to share it with everybody. And that we're going to put a link to that article below this video as well. This is about breakfast cereals scrutinized for pesticides that may harm reproduction. There's a huge fertility issue going on in not just this country, but globally. There's been, a lot of women having fertility issues, and this article may make you wonder why all of that is happening. But anyways, let me put on my glasses here. They're saying that chloroquat may be responsible for that, and chloroquat is the world's most common plant growth regulator. It was first registered in the United States in 1962, but plant growth regulators are chemical substances employed to control and regulate plant growth, flowering, fruit yield, and its application in grain crops results in reduced stem height, thereby minimizing the occurrence of what they call lodging or bending
Watching.
over, which can reduce the efficiency of harvesting process. However, in the United States, chloroquat is permitted exclusively for the use of ornamental plants and is prohibited for the application of food crops grown within the country. Now, this article is specifically about the United States, but I'm assuming that Canada probably is the same as well, right, Peter? I'm
I
guessing.
would very normally our regulations are quite similar, yeah.
Right. So in April of 2018, the United States Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA, allowed chloroquat in the food supply by establishing acceptable food tolerance levels in imported oats, barley, wheat, and select animal products. So that's how it's getting in. But recent studies show that chloroquat is it's which is, by the way, a pesticide that is known to be linked to reproductive issues, has been found in popular breakfast cereals such as Quaker Oats and Cheerios.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Yeah.
So, they're saying that as the substance infiltrates the American food supply, the potential risk to our health and future generations looms larger, of course. So, recent studies further demonstrate that chloroquat's reproductive and developmental toxicity, includes delayed onset of puberty, reduced sperm motility rather, and decreased testosterone. So here's what's staggering. Chloroquat was detected in the urine of 4 out of 5 people, or 80% of Americans tested. And
Wow.
additionally, 92% of oat-based foods tested contained chloroquat, including,
Wow.
like I just said, Quaker Oats and Cheerios.
Wow, that's a huge percentage. That is really frightening. And even without that, there's enough problems for Western societies with women not having enough children to keep the population stable, right? Because I think the statistics show that a woman needs to have 2.2 children to keep the population stable, to allow for child mortality and child and infant mortality and all that. And I think in North America it's down to 1.7 or something. And in Japan it's I think it's below one, or is it Korea? One of the Asian countries below one. But it's affecting first world countries way more than the less developed countries, who, where, although their birth rates have fallen, women are still having an average of 4 to 5 children, and they are all suffering from not enough food, right? We got the food, and we're going to end up with not the people.
We
So,
may have the food, Peter, but it's the degradation of our food supply.
yeah,
You know,
sure.
it's the chemicals that we're adding to our food supplies. It's just, you know, I can get on my soapbox here, but I
No,
won't. You know what I mean?
it's a huge problem. It is a huge problem. So that's our health one. And then, as always, we promote Dr. Morse's products, and we'll put the mention of those in the newsletter. Kathleen and I both use quite a few of those products and swear by them. And we also follow a lot of his protocols for healthy eating and healthy lifestyle. And certainly, when you look at Kathleen, you can see the benefit she's getting from it. Perhaps not quite so much with me, but I feel good. So that's the important thing. So that's it for me. As always, we have a lot of interesting guests coming up for you. We've interviewed more this week, some really good episodes coming up. Make sure you don't miss out on our future guests. Hop onto our website, theyakkingshow.com, hit the purple button at the top or the bottom of the homepage, and sign up for our newsletter. We only send you one email a week. We just tell you who's on this week, who's on next week, maybe a health tip, maybe some news of some of our other previous guests. And we normally give you a book recommendation, and we try and always make that a book written and published by one of our previous guests. So that's it for me. Back to Kathleen.
Well, thank you also very much for tuning in. And if anyone is interested in being a guest on our show, we'd love to hear from you. All you have to do is visit us at theyakkingshow.com and click on the Contacts tab where you will find a short application form. So until next week, take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.